Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the one life. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. Following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The challenge for humanity is to drop all antagonisms and antipathies, all hatred and racial differences, and attempt to live in terms of the one family, the one life, and the one humanity. We hear the expression, the one life, and it sounds beautiful, but we may not really understand it. What do you think this term means?
Well, it's true that we may not understand it. In fact, Alice Bailey in her writings warned us to guard ourselves against what she called mystical rhapsodies about the one life, which spiritual people are prone to do. We are all one. There's only one life. It becomes a beautiful sentiment, but it can also be a way of arresting one's thinking and discrimination. She said these rhapsodies about the one life are apt to be no more than the negation of all mental thinking and a kind of a luxuriating in the sensuous perception of a highly developed emotional nature. So what we want to do today is to talk about the one life in a way that might help listeners and ourselves to understand a reality, capital R, that is really beyond the minds of any of us. I think it's one of those aspects of spirituality that we get a glimpse of via the intuition. And that in itself is progress and should give us a sense of growing understanding. But we have to keep in mind that we can't begin to talk about this reality with any real insight or wisdom.
Yes, it's a difficult concept to grasp, I think, the one life. Well, everybody has a life. We talk about my life and your life and the life of our pets and the life of humanity and the life of the plants and so forth. But as if these were all one separate aspects of life. But in fact, as I think we will probably get into this afternoon, this morning, there is only the one life, and it's a, as I say, it's a difficult concept to grasp, but there is a difference between life and the form through which life is expressed.
Yes, what we're trying to talk about is a reality that is totally beyond and apart from the outer world of manifestation, where we see an incredible diversity, much of it quite magnificent. I mean, the natural world is a display of life on myriad levels, through mineral, vegetable, and animal lives, and through the human expression, and then there's the spiritual teaching involves the life of the soul, the life of the angelic kingdom, and so on. But all this diversity, as I understand it, is incorporated with, and maybe we could say subsumed in, the life of a great being of whom none of us really can say anything. In fact, the ageless wisdom describes this one life as the one about whom naught may be said. So here we are, trying to say something.
we're going to disregard that and
throw caution to the wind.
Say something.
Alice Bailey said that it's in the realm of the mind that we enter into all the separativeness and the separateness and the diversity and the plethora of manifestation that seems so real to us. The mind has a tendency to analyze and break down through compartmentalizing and discerning the endless details and overlooking the essential unity that lies behind that outer diversity. But she also said that it's in the realm of the mind that the great at-one-ment is made, because it's through the mind that we approach deity. The mind is our tool, our means to grasp the nature of this essential unity that lies behind the outer diversity. So the mind is both the troublemaker and the means of salvation for us.
Yeah, and the fact that we have more of a developed mind capacity now is one reason why we can begin to see the differences between life and form. And as you said, we are immersed in this great sea of life, and there is only one life. It's the same life that animates you and that animates me and that animates every other human being in the world, and that animates every animal and every plant. It's all part of the one life of God. That we are merely agents in this great sea of life. It's one life of God, and we are all taking part of in that life.
And not only human beings, because Alice Bailey said something that I think is really intriguing and in a way inspiring. She said that a grub or a worm working out its little life in a mass of decaying substance is as much a spiritual manifestation as an initiate working out his destiny in a mass of rapidly changing human forms. It's all manifested deity, she said. It's all divine expression and all a form of sensitive awareness. Even the grub or the worm is, on its level, sensitive to something and a response to environment, and therefore a form of conscious expression. And that same life, that same deity, is working through all these myriads of lives, and they all play their part in a plan that is utterly unified.
And that's why that's why life cannot be taken. And it says that's one of the other great revelations in the Bailey teachings. Life is one, and nothing can ever take or touch that life. And
that means you're against the death penalty?
Well, it makes you think, because you put a person to death, and you're removing the form, perhaps, but the life continues on. You haven't touched that life of that person.
Yes, I think that's what she means. Not that it's against the law to take a life, but that it's impossible.
You can't take a life.
It is.
Because
it
life
is,
and life is just simply passed on from one person to another.
One stage to another.
And we're all part of this one life. We live in this great, perhaps it's like an electrical essence that animates every form in the world. And so we're all part of this one life. We all plug into it, in effect, and are animated by it, and it enables us to grow and to produce a certain quality here on Earth.
It's interesting that as we try to talk about the one life, we're using essentially a dualistic method of approach. We're talking about it as if it is out there somewhere separate from us. It's the only way we can get a grip on it, by talking about it from the objective distance of our apparent separation. But in fact, this one life works out in its expression through one, the three, and the seven. There is one life, the Ageless Wisdom says, that manifests as a trinity. And the concept of the trinity is found in a number of the world's religions. We could say the trinity is life, consciousness and form, or spirit, soul, and appearance. These are three expressions of one life, and then in turn, these three expressions differentiate into a sevenfold manifestation, which is known as the seven rays. And we've talked quite a lot on these programs about the seven rays being the sevenfold expression of deity, of God, the sevenfold nature of God's essence or beingness. But nevertheless, behind the seven and the three, there is the one life. And the threefold expression might also be known as will, love, and intelligence. We say that God is love. God is also will. God is also intelligence. There isn't one that is better than another, because they are all as if we were looking at the same crystal from a different facet.
And as life descends from the pure realm of spirit, it does begin to differentiate into the threefold nature, and then into the sevenfold. And we are reflections of that. We have this physical body and an emotional nature and a mental nature. So we are all of those aspects, but in a differentiated state.
It might sound to people that this implies that each of us, in being absorbed in this one life, loses our sense of identity, of beingness, that we sort of evaporate or vaporize in our evolution. I don't think that's the right reaction to the fact of the one life and our living within that one life. The Ageless Wisdom says that with the evolution of consciousness through spiritual development, there is a loss of the sense of separateness, yes, but not a loss of identity. If we can imagine that those two things are different, separativeness, the sense of being a unique individuality, is not the same as being aware of having an identity. That identity, the sense of living, of being, is retained even though one loses the sense of separation and of uniqueness. I find that hopeful. Other people perhaps might find that a little bit frightening, but it shouldn't be.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the one life. And before we continue with that topic, you might want to have some information about Lucis Trust, and if you'd like to order books or cassette tapes of the radio shows, a schedule of our meditation meetings, or a package of general information. There's so much you can find out about Lucis Trust from that general package of information. You can contact us at 1-866-695-8247. That's a toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Many people key into our website, and you can find out a lot of information on our website about Lucis Trust. One of the most frequently asked questions is, Lucis Trust a religion? No, it's not. It's a spiritual philosophy organization. But if you'd like to take a look at our website, one of the most frequent reasons why people do look at the website is that they like to listen to the previously archived library of radio shows. The website is www.lucistrust.org. www.lucistrust.org. Once again, www.lucistrust.org. Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. We also appreciate your donations. They are tax deductible. Donations certainly are an expression to us of your support. We thank you for your support, and we appreciate both the large and the small donations. And also, we want to thank you for those letters that you sent in. Many of you send in letters expressing your appreciation and all that you derive from the show. We thank you so much, and continue to send them. We like them. We enjoy them. And please continue to do so. If you'd like to write us a letter, you can do so and mail that letter to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I'm confused. And I'd like to start with this again, but before we do, continue our discussion of the one life, I'd like to know, if there is one life, I'm very confused, because we have these distinct bodies, and we're all separate, and if there is just one life, what is the purpose of form?
Well, there is a purpose for it. It isn't just a haphazard accident by deity to create so many forms. It's said in the Ageless Wisdom that the form side of life, the outer planes of life, enable deity, God, to develop the many virtues that are expressed from the one basic essence, which is deity, and to demonstrate the nature of divinity as many attributes. In other words, the one life manifesting its many qualities through a diversity of form seems to be the intention of God. He didn't want the world to be simply a unified blob. He somehow is working out his purposes, which we don't really begin to understand, through a multitude of forms in a vast array of species and kingdoms and expressions that are all part of the glory of his manifested world.
Yes,
best I can do with that.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. I mean, yes, he has a particular plan that he is working out here, and he needs the form world to work out that plan. It has to work out through humanity and through the other kingdoms in nature, and all of them are gradually evolving to a certain higher and higher state, a more refined state. And little by little, this is happening. And humanity is the human kingdom has a particular responsibility in this, because we are the ones that are conscious of what is happening and can participate in it, and not just be like blown leaves in the wind. We can have some conscious participation and have. Make choices and begin to work directly with God to bring forth this great plan that he is working out.
Another way of looking at it, we could say, is that the homogeneous is the cause of the heterogeneous. In other words, that unity produces diversity, and the one is responsible for the many. We can deduct from this that our own little life is a reflection of the nature of the one great life. We're taught in our religion that we are made in the image of God. And I think that belief, that teaching, is related to the fact that the microcosm, each of us, reveals the nature of the macrocosm.
Yes, I think this is a very ancient teaching. It goes back to the Greek oracles, man, know thyself and you will know the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly true, because a human being is a small microcosmic reflection of the greater image of God. And we are, as you say, we are the responsible for the so-called lesser lives, the cells in our own bodies, we are responsible for them and to keep them healthy and to keep them evolving in the proper direction and in line with the plan of God. And the responsibility that we have for the cells in our own body is the same responsibility that God has for us. Mm-hmm. And just as He provides His life for us, and we are the cells in His body, then the tiny lives, the tiny cells in our bodies are the ones that we are responsible for. These are our lesser lives that we are responsible for in this particular life.
There's a statement from the Ageless Wisdom given us by Alice Bailey that says, I am the life to these my lives, and so resemble God.
Mm-hmm.
And I always take that to mean that I am the life to the countless little cellular lives that make up my body, and that I need to treat that body with responsibility and with a certain amount of compassion and with intelligence, mm-hmm. and feed it well, give it rest, give it nourishment, because there is a whole system of lives evolving within my greater life, which is my consciousness.
Right, and that's going back to what the oracle says. You study yourself, you study man, you study your own self and your own relationship to this form, then you will understand what God is going through on a planetary level. And even beyond that, what the greater God of the solar system is going through at that level, at the cosmic level. And so it's the same pattern that's repeated from the microcosm to the macrocosm. And it's not something completely different. We are made in the image of God in this respect.
The Ageless Wisdom says that there are certain postulates that apply to our understanding the world and the purpose of God, and that one is that there exists in our manifested universe the expression of an energy or a life which is the responsible cause of all the diverse forms. I think we've pretty much covered that. This great life is the basis of what's called monism. I don't know if you've ever heard of that doctrine, M-O-N-I-S-M, monism, but that is the belief that God is one, and that one life pervades all forms, as we are saying today, and that these forms are all the expressions in time and space of this central and universal energy, which we know as God. It's nevertheless, the root cause, this essential unity, is the root cause of duality. But this duality, when it's seen with a spiritual understanding, somehow forms a completed whole in both pairs of opposites, as they're called. Spirit and matter are a duality that are in fact both expressions of life itself. Spirit being the fire of vitality, matter being the form that is the receptor of that vitality. Life and form are another pair of opposites that form a complete whole. Father and mother, positive and negative, light and dark. These are all apparent dualities that in fact are a unity. And it's only through spiritual development and meditation and reflection on these truths that we begin to understand that there is a progression working out. The very simple, uneducated person sees life as a unity, but it's a unity of form, that life is simply the world of forms, the objective, tangible world, that's it. Then, with some growth in consciousness, we begin to see that life is a duality, and we shift backwards and forwards between being a personality, a body, a form in the world, and a soul, an inner being. And then finally, the return to unity comes with the realization that the outer circumstances of life are just a shell housing the essential life.
And it's helpful if one can begin to distinguish the difference between this life and this form, that form only exists at the behest of life itself, And the life is more the cause lying behind the form. But even if the form disappears, whether by natural death or by accident or whatever, even if that form disappears, then the life aspect continues on. It's, as we said earlier, nothing can touch that life. Our life is not taken away. Our life is simply, the form is simply disappears. So it's a thing that's worth thinking about in trying to distinguish the difference in that great duality between spirit and matter and life and form.
I think if nothing else is retained from the discussion of the one life, there are certain realizations that we come to that do apply to our lives and to our world as we understand it now. One is that the racial problem, in the sense of there being discord and misunderstanding too often between the different races that make up the one humanity, will disappear with the recognition that there is one life manifesting through a diversity of forms and races. There's another thought that I find quite fascinating in the writings of Alice Bailey, and it concerns blood transfusion. I know that there are some religions that forbid it, but the blood is the life, and there is nothing but one life permeating all forms. And therefore, she said, it is transferable under the right conditions, and in fact, it's a synthetic act of service, which is fascinating to ponder on.
Yes, and the bloodstream is the conveyor of the life energy, because there is an electrical component to the bloodstream. And so that's another interesting way of looking at life.
And a third thought from the writings of Alice Bailey is that as a result of the World War from, say, 1914 to 1945, humanity is led into a circle of liberation as a whole, and that by undergoing the experience of the war and the tremendous loss of life, there was achieved in human consciousness a realization of the unity of one life. So there was even purpose in that terrible war.
For those people who like to give us a call, you certainly may do so by giving us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That would be for ordering books or cassette tapes, a schedule of meditation meetings, a package of general information. So once again, toll-free number is 1-866-695-8247. Easier to remember, it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called The Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.